Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Fed Gives Markets a Pot of Gold. Pot of gold in honor of St. Patrick's Day, the leprechauns over the rainbow, a pot of gold. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, by the way, but I did. I don't know if that makes me racist against Irish people. I don't know if that makes me stereotypical here. I don't know who I have to call for permission. I don't know if I have to have an interview with Oprah or Meghan Markle. I don't know if I need their approval to say this. I don't know if I need Don Lemon on CNN, his approval to say a pot of gold. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, who do I have to call? Where is the committee? The Dr. Seuss committee? Do I have to call Dr. Seuss? The committee that is saying, well, we can no longer publish some of his books because Dr. Seuss is a racist. Who do I have to call? Am I allowed to say what I just said? Well, it's going to be posted. Now, it's on my website, thecapitalnews.com. That's where it's going to be and stay. But is YouTube going to have a problem with this? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I hope not. I don't think I'm going to have a problem. But I didn't think I was going to wake up and somebody was going to declare Dr. Seuss a racist. I didn't think that was ever going to happen either. And with everything else that's going on, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we could go down the list of things that we probably thought we would never see or hear about whether somebody is a man or a woman or wants to just classify themselves as whatever they feel like they are today. So if somebody wants to be Tinkerbell, I guess we're going to have to honor their right to be Tinkerbell. I mean, can you imagine working for HR, trying to hire somebody and having to deal with this? I mean, can you take this seriously? I mean, how is this handled? Because I'm sure there are classes that HR has to go through, and I'm sure that people in larger corporations and organizations have to go through various types of training to deal with this type of nonsense. Because that's what it is. As long as we've been here, men and women, boys and girls, now it's whatever, all of a sudden. And mind you, this is from the political party that says we have to trust the science. We have to believe in the science. Yet they can just make this stuff up and not worry about it at all. It's absolutely ridiculous. But that's the pot of gold. Obviously, today was the conclusion of the FOMC meeting, and Jay Powell came out and made his comments and gave his press conference. And it was what we were expecting and anticipating. No change to the federal funds rate. And the markets earlier before Jay Powell came out and made some comments was pretty much trading down. It was in the red, but it did a huge reversal to close up for the day. And we're going to get into that, but that's going to be the bulk of today's conversation. And we're going to go over some things that we have been going over for the past few weeks because we want to continue to monitor these trends because this is apparently what the markets are very focused on with what the Federal Reserve is going to say. Other central banks are coming out this week. I think the Bank of Japan and Bank of England are set to announce their policy decisions this week as well. Of course, we had the ECB last week. All hands on deck, going to do whatever it takes. They're going to increase the speed at which they are throwing money into the system over there in Europe. And I imagine we're going to get the same song and dance from Japan and England, the Bank of England as well. And of course, the Reserve Bank of Australia has been on board too. However, with what we have been discussing over the past couple of podcasts with global food prices rising and the stagflation and social unrest podcast yesterday, which I'm fortunate are starting to gain some traction. So the audience is starting to grow here a little bit. So I'm very fortunate for that. And thank you for your new listeners for just joining. But we're now seeing the Central Bank of Brazil has increased their benchmark interest rates. And they increased them higher than what the market was anticipating. And they are projecting to continue to increase their benchmark interest rate moving forward. Why? Well, say it with me. Inflation. They are dealing with it. So we can add Brazil to the list. They have a huge uptick in COVID-19 cases. They have a fragile economy to begin with. They have a political system that is just, it's terrible, quite frankly. But I mean, what political system at this juncture isn't terrible, but they're bad. Corruption, A lot of changes going on down there. I mean, corruption is always at the forefront in Brazilian politics, unfortunately, but that's what we have to deal with and contend with. And, you know, Brazil is a massive economy. It's the largest economy in Latin America, almost a $1.9 trillion economy by GDP, which, of course, is the same amount that we just passed here in Congress. Again, putting things into perspective when we had that conversation last week. $1.9 trillion. Nobody cares Act 3.0, whatever the hell they want to call it. $1.9 trillion is the size of Brazil's economy. You understand how ridiculous all of this is? Brazil's not a tiny country either. A lot of people down there, a few hundred million, okay? It is a big country. A couple hundred, a few hundred million. I don't have the number right in front of me. Everything that they produce in 1 year adds up to $1.9 trillion. We just threw it down the toilet because, well, the Democrats wanted to do it because they wanted to give everybody another $1,400 plus. They wanted to bail out all of the cities and the states and localities that couldn't balance their checkbook. So let's have Uncle Sam do it. He doesn't have the money. Who gives a damn? Who gives a damn? The Democrats won. They're going to say, well, elections have consequences. Here we go. And they're just getting started. And this doesn't allow me. I am not looking the other way. I am not giving the Republicans a pass. I always got to bring them back into it because they're just out of power. When they were in power, they had no problem running trillion-dollar deficits either, which is why these people do not deserve your vote or your respect. Do not give them either. Leave them immediately. We do not have a $28 trillion national debt and growing just because of the Democrats or just because of the Republicans. It's both of them. It's just the rhetoric that changes up. That's all. It's just the personality. They're all puppets on a string dancing for their masters, their corporate masters, their lobbyists, whatever. That's all. They don't work for you. Pretty evidenced. Okay? Pretty easy to see this. It's in your face. But of course, you know, we're tribal. People are tribal. People like to be in groups. They like to be on a team. They like to win. Like to be competitive. Nobody wants to be a loser. So you got to pick your team. Got to pick your side. You should be with red, white, and blue, the United States of America. But no, people got to say, I got to be on the red team or I got to be on the blue team. And I got to win. And I don't care if it makes me a hypocrite. I don't care if it makes me a liar. I don't care if I have to dance around my principles. I have to win. And because of this mentality that everybody has to win on their team, we're now all losing, which again is further evidenced by what is taking place globally with increased food prices, increasing inflation, hitting real goods and services, hitting the pocketbook, turning into protests, riots, revolutions, military coups, wars, civil wars. And this is just getting started. It is the weakest links that break first. The weakest economies that break down first. We continue to add to this list almost, unfortunately, on a daily basis. Got to throw Brazil into the mix now, too. At least they're trying to combat some of this inflation, increasing interest rates. And of course, that's what should be done globally. And if there was a true market economy, interest rates globally would be a lot higher than what they are. But because there is so much massive distortion, because of federal governments and central banks the world over doing what they're doing, it is suppressing interest rates, increasing equity prices, increasing bond prices, increasing real estate prices, massive distortions left, right, and center. This is not going to end well. Interest rates should be much higher, cooling everything off. And now we have Jay Powell coming out again, trillions of dollars of financial assets around the world. Everybody, eyes and ears paying attention to what this idiot had to say. So don't tell me this is a free market capitalistic system anywhere, because it's not. It's not. When you're waiting to hear what one person or a handful of people have to say on a planet of 7.5 billion people, hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of financial assets, equities, bonds, real estate, you name it. Derivatives markets, everything. We got to wait to see what one guy has to say or a handful of central bankers have to say. This is a centrally planned economy, period, end of story. You've been lied to about free market capitalism. You've been lied to that the United States is a free market capitalistic system. We're not even close to it and haven't been for quite a while. And it's really been in our faces since the great financial crisis with quantitative easing and the largest wealth transfer in human history. The largest, most asinine and criminal economic experiment that's ever been conducted. And they're going to keep pushing it. Because as Jay Powell said today, well, we don't anticipate that we're going to be tapering the Federal Reserve's balance sheet or increasing the federal funds rate anytime soon. Probably not until at least 2023, maybe even further. So the Federal Reserve goes from being data dependent. This is something that they were really pushing a couple of years ago. We're just going to be data dependent. We're going to see what economic data comes out, and we're going to make our decisions from there. Now, of course, they just make up whatever economic data they want to suit their narrative. And that was something that the chairman, Jay Powell, had once again reiterated during today's statement and press conference with respect to the unemployment rate, the official rate being at 6.2%. And he once again pushes back on this and says, well, that's really not true. It's really worse than that. It understates the real unemployment picture. And of course, he's right in saying that, but he's saying it's closer to 10% when, you know, according to the initial jobless report, which initial jobless claims report, which we're going to get tomorrow on Thursday, last week we were, what, close to 14%? And that probably still understates it too, because we're dealing with massive amounts of structural unemployment and underemployment. And these guys think that we're going to go back to, you know, 4.5% on the official unemployment rate next year, maybe by the end of this year, which is completely ridiculous. Now, officially speaking, yeah, we might get there because the way that they calculate and just make this crap up. So yeah, anything's possible. But the question, of course, will be, if we get to such a low number on the official unemployment rate at 4.5%, then what's the Fed going to do? If markets are at all-time highs, why is everybody concerned with what the Fed's going to do? If everything is so great and grand, why is everybody waiting on pins and needles to hear what the Federal Reserve is going to do? It just doesn't make any sense. If the Olympic sprinter no longer needs the crutches and is ready to run the 100-meter dash, then why the hell do we have to keep talking about crutches? That's what we're talking about here for an analogy. If this guy's good to run and can go for the gold, what are we talking about crutches and braces and all this other assistance for? Good to go. Don't need it. Interest rates should be going up. Fed's balance sheet can be tapered. You can start to roll it off, which of course just gets higher and higher, over $7.5 trillion now, and that number should be updated tomorrow. We'll see if M1 and M2 money stock, if that data gets updated. It's been a few weeks since those figures have been updated, and don't forget, and I'll of course remind you tomorrow, that the definitions of M1 and M2 money stock have been changed. So maybe that's why it's taking a while for them to recalculate these things to figure out what the hell is going on, but nonetheless, we have not been with those updated figures for the past few weeks. So we'll see what's released tomorrow. But that was the crux of Jay Powell's comments today. No major bombshells, I don't think. I mean, what were these guys going to come out and say? We're going to increase interest rates? I don't think so. Because we know what happens if they decide to increase interest rates. Because when you look at the federal funds rate and you look at the 10-year note, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note, we know. When we look back to the fourth quarter of 2018, and the reason I continue to remind this audience of the fourth quarter of 2018 is because I believe once all of the dust settles from this asinine economic experiment, economic historians are going to go back and they're going to say that was a breaking point. That was one of the major breaking points to when this whole house of cards really was starting to crumble. This is when we started to see some major cracks within this foundation, which of course is built on sand. because in the fourth quarter of 2018 is when we saw a 20% sell-off in the equity markets here in the U.S. And of course, this was felt around the world as well. And this was because the federal funds rate got to a whopping 2.4%. 2.4% in what was supposed to be, according to the Republicans and Donald Trump every day, saying it was the greatest economy that ever was. But we couldn't tolerate a federal funds rate of 2.4%. Makes no sense whatsoever. Then you had a 10-year junk note yielding a little over 3% at the time, and the markets and the economy couldn't handle it. The markets couldn't handle the Federal Reserve removing the crutches after being on crutches for the past 10 years, since the GFC in 2008, when we just took interest rates to zero and left them there for nearly a decade, only to incrementally increase them month over month, meeting after meeting, little by little, just dipping our toes back into the pool, seeing how the water feels. Then we got to those magical numbers for whatever reason, 2.4%, little on the Fed funds rate, a little over 3% on 10-year note, and that was it. It was kaput. It was done. But now we have a much weaker economy. We have a much weaker jobs market with massive amounts of underemployment and unemployment. We have several trillions more in debt. So it's not going to take the federal funds rate getting back to 2.4% to prick this bubble. It's not going to take a 10-year junk note to get back to 3% or slightly above it to prick this bubble. It's going to be much less. And that's also part of today's interesting story, because we have been told over the past couple of weeks that as we continue to see the yields on the 10-year note continue to rise, 1.5%, 1.55, 1.6 intraday, well, that's going to cause a sell-off in the stock market, especially with respect to these high-flying tech names, these growth stocks, which have been moving the market for the past 10 years, that have been moving basically lockstep with quantitative easing. And now, because we're just in this hyper super bubble and all of this money has to go somewhere, it's just chasing these high flyers to ridiculously high valuations. And of course, economic gravity will bring these valuations back down, but it's going to bring everything back down with it. What leads up leads down. That's what's going to happen. All right, but the interesting thing is, today, despite what Jay Powell said, the 10-year yield continued to increase. And we have a 10-year yield at 1.67% now. 1.67%. This takes us back to where we were last January. And of course, last January, the 10-year yield was moving downward. Now, of course, it is moving higher. Yet, the stock market today closed up. Tech stocks closed higher. NASDAQ closed higher. Okay, yeah, there were some one-offs here and there, but you had Tesla putting on 4%. Apple did give back 0.2%. Microsoft gave back 0.3%. Amazon was up 1.4%. Facebook was up 1.7%. Alibaba was up 2.8%. Intel was up 1.5%. I thought higher yields on the 10-year meant that tech stocks went down. Isn't that the narrative that we were told? Or is now, are we starting to witness some of these breakdowns and these correlations that I talked about would likely going to happen when this bubble starts to burst? We're going to see a breakdown of traditional relationships and correlations. Now, this is one day. I don't want to make a big stink out of this. This is just the initial reaction to what took place this afternoon. Of course, Jay Powell didn't start speaking until 2:30. And at his conference, his press conference, you know, typically runs about an hour. But so you're getting close to the end of the trading session is my point. We don't want to read too much into how the markets respond in one day. Allow the markets to digest this news, and we'll see how things play out as we progress. But nonetheless, that is a breakdown in the narrative, at least on a knee-jerk reaction. However, perhaps what could be said to contribute to the market turnaround in closing up for the day is the fact that the dollar took a beating this afternoon. Okay, so maybe this is the balancing act that the Federal Reserve is trying to work out. Well, we'll tolerate perhaps a rising 10-year yield, but at least if we can put downward pressure on the dollar, then maybe this will balance out and it won't be so bad. But if we have that dollar increasing and the 10-year yield increasing, well, then watch out. That could be a problem. Time will tell. I mean, they'll make stuff up as they have to. Maybe they'll go back to being data dependent. Maybe they'll just make up whatever data they need to justify their narrative. That's what they've been doing, so I imagine there'll be some continuation of that. But this obviously is cause for concern, a lot of concern. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Federal Reserve has lost all credibility. I mean, that goes without saying. For those of you who have been with me, you know this. But these guys, as I stated about dingbat Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, I said that woman couldn't hit water if she fell out of a boat. Neither can these people at the Fed. So these are the people that couldn't foresee market selling off 20% in the fourth quarter of 2018 because they were starting to taper their balance sheet, starting to hike interest rates ever so slightly. They couldn't see that. They couldn't see the financial collapse during the great financial crisis. They couldn't understand the mortgage crisis or the subprime market. They said it was going to be contained, even if it was a problem. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe them that they're just going to keep rates low till 2023, maybe further. What happens if inflation explodes? What happens if they're wrong about inflation? Depending on who you ask at the Fed, it's no problem at all. It's not here. It's not going to exist. Others will say, well, if it does exist, it's going to be small. It'll be manageable. We have the tools to fix it. If it does exist, it'll be transitory, so it's not really something to worry about. How do they know? They're not batting 1,000. They're striking out every time they go to bat. And yet these people continue to hold their jobs. They get promoted. If you want to consider moving up to the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, if you consider that a promotion. I mean, her signature's on our currency now. Some might consider that a promotion from the Fed. Maybe people think the Fed chairman's more powerful. You can have that argument either way. Either way, these people are terrible forecasters, terrible economists. I don't even think we can call them that. They're just idiots. They're dingbats. And yet, they make big salaries. If they retire, when they retire, they go on their speaking engagements, make millions of dollars, write books, make millions of dollars. The media kisses their butts. Politicians kiss their butts. For what? For what? For this? Wait till all of this blows up. Then we'll see if they get the blame. It's going to be very interesting to see if they get any of the blame when all of this blows up. Or is somebody going to change the narrative and blame it on free market capitalism? That's what I'm betting on. Most likely is what's going to happen. So I'll give some market performance here on the overnight trading session. So we have the dollar index at 91.37. 91.37 on the dollar index. Again, the dollar took a beating this afternoon. Although in the overnight session, markets are pretty calm at the time of the podcast. Of course, that could change any moment, but not too much volatility on the Forex markets. Bitcoin is trading at $58,800 a coin, so Bitcoin also rallied. Today, overnight futures markets, we have the Dow Jones gaining 0.3%. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ 100 is up 0.3%. Japanese cash trade putting on a gain of about 0.9%, trading at above 30,000 points on the Nikkei 225. So back above 30,000 points. A mixed bag across the pond in Europe. Australian stocks giving back 0.7%, and Chinese stocks are in the green, putting on a gain of 0.5%. A mixed bag with respect to commodities, but we have crude oil, WTI, at $64.35, selling off for the day, as was Brent, $67.74, natural gas, $2.52. Gold and silver both had a decent day. during the day's session and are also in the green overnight right now. Gold, $1,751 an ounce. Silver, $26.58 an ounce. And copper, $4.11 per pound. And as I stated previously, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is yielding 1.67%. So that pretty much sums up what I wanted to talk about today. No big surprises with what the Federal Reserve decided to do. No big surprise with what they are pushing out there that, okay, growth is here to stay. It's going to be okay. Inflation's transitory. We can handle it if it's here. And there was a technical question that was brought up by somebody by a journalist during the press conference. Okay. And I'm not going to get into it right now because Jay Powell didn't answer the question. He shrugged it off. Now, this is a technical question that's been circulating around the financial media over the past few days, and that's perfectly fine and justifiably so. So it's reasonable for this journalist to have asked this question. But Jay Powell said, nope, I'm not going to answer that. If you have another question, ask me that second question, because on the basis of your question, we're going to say something about that in the future. Now, I don't know if the future means tomorrow, because Jay Powell has another speaking engagement tomorrow, so maybe he'll address those technical questions. So time will tell, but nonetheless, this is what happens. These journalists, even if they finally come up with a tough question, even though most of them are reasonable, if he doesn't want to answer it, he doesn't answer it. And of course, he's never held to account. None of these people ever are. They're appointed bureaucrats. There's no responsibility. Congress can't overrule them. The presidency doesn't overrule them. The court system doesn't overrule them. They do what they want. That in and of itself is enough to disqualify them from existing. But people don't even know what these people do. People don't even know who these people are. People don't even know what the Federal Reserve is. So good luck with that. And now you have, who was it? Senator Bernie Sanders out today, I believe it was, saying, people don't know about budget reconciliation and this type of stuff happening in the Senate. People don't care about that stuff. No, why should people care about our Constitution and parliamentarian rules that govern the rules of the Senate? Why should people care? Just do what you want. Right, Bernie? Everything's free. Not your money. Somebody else got to pay for it. These people are disgusting. They all have to go, every single one of them. You know, I do write-ups on all of my podcasts. There'll be a write-up wherever you're getting it. LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, my website, thecapitalnews.com. And if you read my write-ups, I put various hashtags on there to, you know, tags and what have you, hopefully to grow the audience. But nonetheless, I write hashtag fire Congress almost every single day. I want them all gone. I would love it if there was just massive resignations. They said, yeah, we can't continue to do this. We're in the wrong. That ain't going to happen. That's why we have to kick them out at the voting booth. They all have to go. But nonetheless, the Federal Reserve gives the markets a pot of gold, at least for the time being. Pay close attention to what happens in the bond market. We're going to pay close attention to what's happening with the strength or weakness of the dollar. Close attention to the yields across the yield curve, but with particular interest on the 10-year and the 30-year. And obviously the narrative that the Federal Reserve and other policymakers and bureaucrats want to continue to weave. Tomorrow's Thursday, we'll have our typical conversation with initial jobless claims and some monetary measure updates, if they update them. So hopefully we have a large drop-off in initial jobless claims, maybe getting back to where we were during the great financial crisis. I mean, still heartbreaking numbers, but we haven't been that low in a year now. So that would at least be some decent news in the right direction, but I'm not holding my breath. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I'm Alex Caritas. Godspeed.